The umpire was telling me to stand the mark, and I didn't want to borrow that. I'll give you the hot tip.
One of the harder challenges of your football career is just being able to get yourself ready to play and beat your best week in, week out.
I don't really see it as a big deal, really. It's rumour and innuendo, and I've got nothing to do with it.
I think where we are is an accurate reflection of how we're performing.
I love the communication that the umpires have with the players. You know, when Razor gives someone a pat on the back, usually it's an experimental medalist just so he gets a bit of air time, something like that.
Your ticket into the heart of football. Welcome to the Breakfast Club's Inner Sanctum.
Absolutely, welcome to the Sanctum. It's nice to have the big fella joining us again from the D's. Max Gorn, good morning to you.
I've been cut from the promo.
No, you were at the start.
Was I?
Yeah.
We've freshened it up. You've gone from the end to the start.
I actually liked the bit about where you were. You got it all done in 2 hour parking.
That was
a little zinger, yeah.
Leg.
It was good to see Isaac Smith being serious in his bit.
He's a serious man.
Isn't he?
Very serious man. Isaac, he's copped some feedback in the last 24 hours.
He did get a little bit of feedback.
We'll talk about that, actually. I want to talk about that a little bit later on. But you look refreshed. You look rejuvenated. You look ready to go, re-energized.
It's amazing what 4 days can do. No, I stayed in Melbourne for the first time for a while.
Did you?
My bye. Usually I take off. Went back to my hometown in Ormond. went there. Everyone goes home, so I went home as well.
Ormond.
No, and it was good. I just
what's the weather like in Ormond?
Very similar to Bentley. no, it was a good couple of days.
Nice. So, what is it more for you? Is it physical or mental?
To be honest, I love the game and love what I do, so the mental side of it doesn't really seem to bother me as much. I still watch the footy. I even watched that St Kilda Gold Coast game on Saturday Arvo, which was an interesting game to watch, but I managed to get through that on my bye, which is that means I really do love the game.
It was a difficult watch, the first half particularly.
Yeah, so more of a physical one probably for me.
Do some of the other boys get away? How many official days off do you get from the club? You don't have to turn up to the footy club at all.
Thursday to Sunday.
Yep.
So it's not. It's just a long weekend, really. Mm. The majority of people go home. We don't have many Vic Metro boys.
Yep.
So everyone either goes back to the country where they're from or flies out, goes to South Australia, WA. We've got a lot of Queensland boys, which is quite surprising. So I usually go to Byron. I just didn't go this year. I actually saw this. I follow a few AFL players on Instagram, and there was too many in Byron for my liking, so I didn't want to go up there.
Get handed by the other players.
Yeah.
Hey, Big Maxie, come hang with us.
Yeah, go to the beach hotel.
Again.
Have another pot.
Standard.
Again. We wouldn't do that. Hey, What have you done mentally again from the playing perspective? I'm not sure if we asked you this last week or not, or 2 weeks ago. Do you have a half year assessment? Because I think last year you did, didn't you?
Usually. It's a great chance for the coaches to sit down and assess how everything's gone, and even the club wide to sit down and assess how everything's gone. And obviously, ours hasn't been too good, so you normally scrutinise that a little bit more. So.
Is that a formal process?
No, not really, no. There hasn't even really been a presentation to the players about what came from those meetings. I'm sure they'll just secretly bring it in throughout meetings and we won't ever know that there was a change. So, so the coaches have their bye as well, so they're probably gone for the 4 days.
Yep.
But they do something on the Wednesday, arvo, just before they leave.
Right. And do you think that they need it probably more than the players at some times?
Goody does. Yeah, he needs his family time because when footy's on, he doesn't see him at all. / talk to them when he's even at home. So he needs the break, and he's obsessed with footy, and it's good to see him get some days off and come back refreshed. You can even see that they're all nice and refreshed and ready to go. Because I mean, coaching would be probably not for me. It's one of the harder things to do in terms of coding when you're at home. The job never stops when you're coaching, and Goody's also a 24-hour phone call for us.
Yep.
Coaching never stops.
So how often would you make contact outside of club hours with Goody? How often would you do that?
It's more when Goody calls me, to be honest.
That's never a good sign.
Yeah, it's not as bad as the Clarko Birchall story, which is a great story. But,
I don't think I've heard the Clarko Birchall
story. Clarko dropped off a puppy real late at night one day, thinking he needed a puppy, and he didn't.
What? Yeah, this is, I don't know this story.
He thought Birch was struggling with his responsibilities or so on, and thought maybe a little puppy would help him, and the puppy shat and bit everything around the house. 24 hours later, the puppy ended up back at Clarko's house. So Goody's not that bad. Well, he hasn't given me a puppy yet. But yeah, so most senior coaches would be the same. They'd all do those phone calls late at night, and their mind's always ticking over.
How is he going?
Taken aback by the puppy.
Yeah. Clarko was really quite happy with it, I think, too. He thought he'd done a really good thing. How is Goody going? Because one of the issues you've got is actually an execution thing, not necessarily a game plan thing, with the issues you're having forward of centre. I would imagine he would be getting quite frustrated with things, but how does he not show it, or how does he get away with that, or what does he do?
He's not showing his frustrations too much yet, as much as most coaches do. We won 16 games last year, and he's showing similar frustrations post-wins, post-losses, so... it's a credit to him to be able to keep his game face the whole way, because I know it would be frustrating him deep down that some of the basic skills that we're training when we're 11, 12, 13, and even still now, we go for our fundamentals, and we're probably performing as worst as any side has this year in terms of actually kicking the ball to our teammates or executing the simple parts of our game plan. So it is quite annoying, and it's definitely frustrating as a player. I can only imagine what it's like sitting up in the box. But once again, because he's not showing those frustrations, we're able to train it without any anxiety. And anxiety is the new big word for millennial footballers these days. And if something does get drilled into you, sometimes it can build up some sort of anxiety around delivering that skill. So the ability to be able to coach it without showing how frustrating and how much it actually is hurting us, makes you be able to train it more freely.
Do you think it has got to that point with the players that it has become a real mental issue, that kick inside 50, the shot at goal? We saw a situation on the Queen's Birthday weekend where players were 40 metres out trying to pass it, so yep. made it someone else's problem. Do you think it has got to that point with your team?
I tried to pass it from 10, but the siren went, so I had to go back and kick it, unfortunately. Actually, no one stood the mark. That's what put me off. They were all shaking their hands. I'm still kicking here, guys.
Guys,
stay with me. Hang on. I'm going to kick this through.
It's the goal-kicking one is a different debate in itself. I think goal-kicking is a different skill to the other 10 that we're working on, so... there is a bit of a mental game there, and some of our best kicks are the guys that are struggling at the moment, and Tom went through a terrific patch of goal kicking, and now all of a sudden he's struggling a little bit, and the amount of work you do at training tends to go hand in hand with your skill development, but for goal kicking it doesn't seem to be the case. You know, you can put in as much goal kicking practice, but as soon as you get into the actual moment, you only get one shot compared to the 50 at training. You just got to nail that one. So there's a bit of mental side around goal kicking, but the skill base, I think the way we're coached is helping it. Obviously not showing out on game day at the moment, but the way we're coached in the way Goody does it makes it a lot easier to train it.
What did you make of the combination you had down back last against the Magpies on Queen's Birthday? Because you had Stephen May come back in or play his first game. Jack Lever was back in, and you had who else came back in? Matty Hall came back in. So it was a really different combination from your defensive end. What did you make of the way that worked together?
Yeah, we had four in. Salem came in as well. He was a bit crook up in Darwin. In fact, he was incredibly crook. He tried to convince the coaches he could play in Darwin, and 5 minutes before the game he got pulled out and then couldn't even sit in the game in the stands to watch. So that's how sick he was. He left at quarter time, and Darwin Heat can do that to some people. But Schooner May, Jackie Lever and Marty Hall, they're Mark Oppo type players, which is obviously the sexy word in defence at the moment. And all three of them are really good at reading the play. And unfortunately, Frosty got injured on the weekend in the first quarter, but it would have been good to see how they all gelled together. Mm. So. It's exciting what Steve and Jake can potentially bring for us in the back half of this year.
Was it important that they finally got out there together, just from your group perspective?
I mean, chemistry can has to come at some point, and we're at a point in the season where we need to win. And do we play Frosty and Steve rather than play Jake because it's a chance of winning more because they played more together? Or there's all these different little methods that you could go, but in the end we need Steve and Jake playing a lot of footy together and knowing each other's quirks and how they defend. And I say the quicker we can get them in, the better. And Goody listened to that. I said I didn't sit on match committee last time I was here, but I managed to get some sort of word in there that I wanted both of them out there, and they did.
Mission accomplished.
Correct.
Nice work. Nice work indeed.
What about your approach now? How are you approaching this second phase of the season? You're 3-9. Just individually, what are you trying to get out of it from here?
It's gone a long way past any sort of individual goals. It's purely team focused, and 3-9 is not a great place to be sitting. And as a leader, I'm pretty embarrassed in the position our club's in at the moment in terms of ladder, but completely opposite feeling when I get the sense of how we're going from a day-to-day, Monday to Friday type setup. And I'm proud of how the group has faced adversity this year, and we just got to start winning, and that's obviously the focus, and we've got to win 17 out of the next 10 to play finals. It's getting worse and worse every week, but
seemingly a challenge.
It starts with Frio this week, and once we get one win, I feel like we can potentially get on that roll, but we just got to jump over that barrier.
Is it tough to continue to front up and keep saying the same sort of thing? Because I know how hard it is when you're losing games throughout a season. It can be tough to just keep fronting up and going, you know, we're doing all the right things. We're trying our backside off. We think we're on the right track. Now we just got to win week in, week out. I just found that one of the toughest things to deal with.
I get bored of myself when I catch myself saying literally the same cliche answer every time. And the truth is our club and our players and our playing group has a really good feel about it. But at the moment, we can't really say that because we're 3-9 and we're failing in the worst parts of a football game in terms of hitting a kick and kicking goals. And so it is disappointing when you can't come out and just sort of talk about how well things are going at the club and where the club differs from where it was in 2010. But we got to win games, and that's the reality of it. So we got to beat Frio, and then I don't even know who we got the week after. That's how much it's week at a time.
Baby steps. I must admit, I've been watching you obviously closely through the year with your involvement with our program, and even the last couple of weeks, when it clicks, I think it's going to be quite strong. It's just, I don't know what I would, if I was Simon Goodman, I'd have no idea how to get you over the line for the next little while, because everything seems okay until that last section, that last phase of play.
See, aren't you going for the head Carlton kick?
Not anymore.
Not anymore. Definitely just not after that comment.
No, correct.
That's not going to get you the senior gig, is it?
Up until then, I was.
As soon as we lose, I've got no idea what to do.
Because I've been watching you closely.
Well, because
that's
not
pretty good.
Well, the reason is because it's not an effort thing.
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing that would frustrate Melbourne fans.
But it doesn't
have
a system
else.
Thing either. That's because it's an execution. You said before.
Yeah.
Seemingly, most of it is execution late.
Yeah, but it's like, you know, with Hasto in here, it's like in a cricket situation, you're getting the opportunities, but you're dropping catches. Like, it's just one of those things at the moment that they are unforced errors a lot of the time.
And
you're catching the ball at training and you're doing it right at training, you know you're on the right path, but it's just breaking down.
All you can do is train it.
Smash it in the nets. You're creaming them in the nets and you're getting out in the game. It's a similar sort of situation, isn't it? It's hard because you've got to keep trying to front up and find a way to try and improve and try and get better and show the fans that you're on the right direction. But a lot of people don't know what happens inside the four walls at a sporting organisation, and that's the hardest thing, I reckon. He's just trying to keep fronting up and going, no, we're on the right track, and getting the fans believing it as well.
The one question I wanted to ask you, and I want to sort of move on and talk about other things because I'm a bit like you, kind of get bored of talking about the same thing. But do you think it was a situation, because a lot of people have said, oh, Melbourne just thought it was going to happen, that the last season we're just going to roll into this season, you picked up Stephen May, you're going to be better than last year, and it was just going to happen. What do you say to those critics that say that?
I absolutely hate it. So I did Captain's Day, so majority of the talking was from some of my quotes. And if they're going to ask you've made a prelim final, what's the goals this year? Of course I'm going to say we want to improve, and to improve that obviously means, one, turn up to a prelim, or play in a grand final. So that's always going to be what I'm going to say externally. We knew that we had to improve, and sides in recent years that have made a really good finals run have dropped off straight away, and that was the challenge that was facing us. And at the moment, we've probably failed the challenge. But that's at the moment. We've still got 10 games to go. We've still got some chances to improve. And yeah, there's been lots of talk about maybe we drank our own bath water or set our expectations too high. But I mean, what else am I going to say when they ask me, what are you going to do? We made a prelim last year. What's the goals this year? Preferably, I'd like to finish 15th. Just to have a year off and focus on 2020.
That would be a headline.
Yeah.
If you're after headlines, that would be the one.
It is interesting with the Demons. We did a section on the Demons in the award-winning By the Numbers podcast last week with Daniel Horn from Champion Data. And some of the interesting feedback that he gave was that post-clearance, I'm not sure if you talk about pre- and post-clearance at the club. I'm sure you do with your midfield brigade. Post-clearance is the issue for the Demons in terms of disposals and contested positions outside of the clearance. That's your 14th and 10th in those categories, contested positions and disposals. But in modern footy is a forward half game. And your second in time in forward half, and your third in forward half turnovers. So that suggests that there is plenty of opportunities, and you're going to get your look. It's just about that last little phase of play that seems to be stopping the D's at the moment. And the Fremantle Dockers will this week feel the wrath of Maxi's boys. I have no doubt about that at the MCG. We'll get to a break. Maxi Gorn's with us, 21 past 7. You can check that down, by the way, on the fantastic edition of By the Numbers on the podcast page on rsn.net.au.
Is it closing in on the inner circle yet?
Oh, mate, it's all over the circle. Basically,
Huff's under pressure.
Is he?
Bianca and Sherelle.
They're dominating.
They're getting high numbers. The inner circle. By the numbers.
The inner circle's killing me. Do some By the Numbers analysis on By the Numbers. The champion data, Daniel Hoyne. I know Hoyne will be listening. Good morning to you. 21 past 6. Max is with us. We'll come back and talk more footy after this.
Exclusive access behind closed doors. The Breakfast Club's Inner Sanctum.
That is correct. You're in the Inner Sanctum with the Melbourne Football Club at the moment. Max Gorn, the champion of Ruck, is joining us ahead of their clash with Fremantle on Saturday at the MCG. 1:45, check your local guides. Fremantle have been going pretty well, Big Max. Your old footy watch, as you were saying before. What have you noticed about the changes in Fremantle this season?
Yeah, I mean, I said I did go to Captain's Day, and they asked a question about who would be the team to rise, and Freo was my answer at the start of the year.
Is that
so
right?
Go back and make sure we get that.
get the tape.
Yeah, no, look, I reckon they're a solid young team, and with some really good players. I think they've got 3 or 4 players in the top 10 in the comp at the moment.
They do.
Is that actual fact?
3.
Yeah, right.
And it's quite, you would have heard that on By the Numbers.
The 5.
Fife, Mundy, Walters. And Walters. 3 of the top 10.
Oh, you're right.
Hill?
No Hill.
Mm.
No Hill. I'll stand by.
Well, they're in our top 10.
You're number 2, yeah. By the way.
Number 2.
Yeah. Fife's got you covered.
So step up.
No,
so, yeah, they're a quality outfit, and they're playing some really good footy, and they're coached really well, play really well in Perth. They play really well at the G, to be honest, as well.
They do.
They got Collingwood here the other day. So it's going to be a good battle, and it's going to be good to watch Hoags and Steve have that little subplot in the goal square down the other end. And yeah, and I've got young Sean Darcy, who's probably going to be one of the better rucks of the comp coming up. So
I agree with that.
It'll be a fun little battle.
Now, I think I've asked you a similar question before, but when you are playing and Nathan Fyfe is playing on the opposition, when you are rucking and you're assessing what you're going to do, can you give a percentage on how much you're trying to get it to your Melbourne player and how much you're trying not to get it where Nathan Fyfe is at a centre bounce or a stoppage?
Well, the percentage is 100% one way, 0% the other. That's what.
Just trying to get to a Melbourne player. Yeah. It's not 50-50.
I'm not half the time trying to get to Fyfe.
But thinking about where he is to keep it away from his area, and or are you going to go, you know what, I'm that good, I'm going to get it near Fyfe, but to my Melbourne player, as opposed to in the opposite direction.
You're back in all three of your mids. If Harmsy is tagging Fyfe, if that is the go, Harmsy probably won't be the hit to. So that'll be our way of protecting that area. We'll do a lot of study to see what position Fyfe gets to when he's likely to get the ball and stuff like that. So Yeah, there is a lot that goes on in the centre bounce. If we are tagging, we tend to just use our two players and Harmsy can do his role. Sometimes if the player's really, the guy that Harmsy's tagging isn't a great defender in there, we'd tend to use Harmsy. So there's all different elements that happen. Fife's obviously a star and he's someone that can win a clearance from nothing. So it can be handy to hit away from him, but it's not something that we'd go out to.
Yeah, so are you aware of those players like a Bontempelli, a Cripps or a Fife just in your periphery, or are you all very much focused on where your players are in that situation?
Yeah, like, they're all great players, but, like, for example, in Western Bulldogs with Bontempelli, Dunkley and Liberatore are solid clearance players as well, if not as good as Bont. So you can't just avoid Bontempelli and think we're going to hit off Libba, because Libba will do the same.